Tech of Sports, episode 143, Lee Wabransky. This week on the Tech of Sports, I'm joined by Lee Wabransky. Modern Life Podcast mobile apps are a great way to receive our content on your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. Don't forget apps like Stitcher, TuneIn, and other apps where you can see your favorite Modern Life Podcast Network shows all preloaded and ready to go. The Tech of Sports, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. And the Tech of Sports is a production of the Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Thanks to everyone for joining us this week. I know it's a busy time of the year, and we're coming off the Memorial Day weekend holiday. So just a great show here lined up for this week, and looking ahead a couple weeks to the U.S. Open Golf outside of Pittsburgh there at Oakmont in Pennsylvania. And we're joined by Lee Wabransky. He's a professional artist, and he's been commissioned for the last number of years to do the, I guess you'd call it the official poster for the U.S. Open Championships. He did a great one last year for Chambers Bay, and he's doing this year at Oakmont, and then other major golf championships as well, and also looking ahead to the Ryder Cup later this year at Hazeltine in Minneapolis. Lee is does a great job with this. It's a great idea that the USGA and other organizations commissioned him to do this. So, Lee, this is great to talk with you, and every poster you do, every painting you've done that I've seen has been fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Kind of talk about kind of maybe your career a little bit, how you got started, and then kind of how you you got the gig, kind of aligning yourself with the golf events.
Sure. I went to art school, and after art school, I was involved in a kind of an impromptu little gig where I was doing pen and ink renderings of homes, mansions, and small institutions on the main line outside of Philadelphia. We took that portfolio to the golf and country club community because we figured that golf clubs are often, especially in the Northeast where I'm from, golf clubs are often known for their stately and beautiful clubhouses. So for the first few years, I was just doing actually clubhouse drawings in golf. And then after, I don't know, about 2 years of that, we began to receive requests from clients to do work in color and to do different types of work. But really, we started in 1995. At the time, I had a couple of business partners. We showed my portfolio around to some of the best clubs in the Met section in New York. My first commission in golf was Winged Foot, and that opened a lot of doors. So we've kind of just never looked back.
You've been building on it ever since. And were you a golfer? Did you grow up with the sport? Is that kind of your little background or your little inside with golf?
Actually, you know, no, I didn't. That's kind of a common question and a general assumption, and it makes sense. But I've always been kind of a skinny guy with bad eyesight. So I was a caddy as a kid, and I wasn't a very good one. So the game wasn't something I really grew up with. I had aunts and uncles who played, but I never played a lot growing up, here and there. It was really the work that brought me to the game rather than the other way around. By the time I had been working for a few years in the golf business, I was getting a lot of invitations to play some pretty sweet places. And I figured, you know, I don't like to be a guy who's going to miss out on a perk. So I thought I'd try the game out and see if I liked it. And sure enough, I got bitten by the bug like lots of people do. And I kind of jumped in with both feet and read as much as I could and loved to practice and played as much as I could. So it was really it informed the work greatly that I grew to love the game and love the history and the lore and the stories and the figures around it. So all that I figured would serve to inform my work. And I think it has. I think a lot of what people respond to in my work is some sort of a honoring of tradition, which is very prevalent in the game. And I think that's great. You know, that's exactly what I had hoped would happen.
Great backstory. And, you know, yeah, I agree, no better sport that when it comes to perks than the sport of golf. So great that kind of inspired you and kind of led you down the path a little bit. There's also, I don't think, any sport better than golf when it comes to representing it, you know, as a piece of art or as a part of a piece of artwork. You know, the landscapes are there. We have all the colors. You have the natural elements. There's really a lot going on. Maybe in a sport where maybe art also was popular with some artists. The sport artist was the sport of baseball because that's also outside. And like you said, the tradition is there. But golf is pretty unique, I think. And I think you've picked up on that, or you have an eye for that when it comes to turning it into a piece of memorable art.
Well, thanks. There is a great tradition, as you mentioned, and I try to draw from that. A lot of my inspirations are the great old British Rail posters, you know, that deal with St. Andrews and Cruden Bay and such from the teens and 20s. And in terms of literature and, you know, the body of literature and journalism in and around the game of golf, I would say is only rivaled by baseball, really. There have been, you know, some of the greatest sports writers ever have written in the game of golf. And, you know, if you love the game and you start jumping into that, there's like any great thing or any great game, the more you get into it, the bigger it gets. And that's certainly how it felt to me.
And like baseball, golf has memorable and distinct personalities as well. And, you know, they're not covered up by a uniform, although golfers have become kind of billboards in recent years with all the sponsorships and partnerships they have on. But it's really, you know, baseball, it's a batter against the pitcher. And in golf, it's a golfer, not against another golfer per se, a golfer against the course. And that's kind of the magic I think you bring to your work.
Well, thanks. I definitely seek to do that. I try to bring the design elements of the course to the forefront. Most of the great courses are known to also be very beautiful. But I try very hard to showcase the most compelling design features of any particular venue for my championship posters. At Chambers Bay, you know, you had the really gnarly bunkering, the railway running alongside the golf course, and then the seaside setting. So, you know, those are really the most identifiable features there. And at Oakmont, you know, the church pews bunker that everyone knows is, you know, very, very almost legendary, right? I mean, you know, people who barely know anything about golf, you know, if you ask them what they know about Oakmont, they know Palmer and they know those church pews. So it really wasn't much of a question as to what design feature to focus on there. I just usually try to find the two or three biggest characters and then find a composition where all those characters can be presented together in a way that they don't compete for your attention, but they harmonize and create a picture that your eye can sort of wander through. And hopefully, you know, as you meander through looking at the piece, you find little details here and there that are put in to keep you interested.
And we're with Lee Rubransky here, the artist that you get to see his work each year with the U.S. Open as he kind of immortalizes the event in poster form. And Lee, do you have the latitude kind of to pick what you want as what you're painting as part of the poster, or are you given input and are you given suggestions from the powers that be, you know, that when it comes to each event that you do?
Well, you know, the reputation of the USGA is, you know, as a very meticulous body is well earned. And I definitely share that. But I, as a commercial artist, I feel that oftentimes the most demanding clients get the very best out of you. And I've certainly felt that to be the case with the USGA. The way the process usually works is I'll make a site visit anywhere between 6 and 12 months in advance, take a whole bunch of photos, walk the property, every nook and cranny of it, trying to sort of soak up impressions and find interesting views. I'll do a little bit of sketching. And usually by the time I leave the site, I've got three general concepts in mind, which I then rough up and send to the USGA for their selection. Every single time that we've done one together, I'm glad to say that they've gone with my preferred view, my recommended view, which is great. Trying to think, last year was interesting because there's one definite favorite and a couple of others, but last year there were three different options that I could have lived with, but they picked the one that I did think was probably the best one to go with. And then we actually do probably a dozen or so revisions, tweaks back and forth. I send proof after proof, but that's usually not dealing with the scene so much as the fonts, the colors, where the logos are going to go, that sort of thing. So they're very hands-on, but I really do feel that the work that results from the partnership is some of the best work I do. And I generally try to be very collaborative in my work. I'm not really a my way or the highway kind of an artist.
There's a lot of artists who are like that. They have their their artistic integrity, and they wouldn't maybe be as open to the input that you are.
Yeah, you know, I think that at the end of the day, it is, I guess, one of the metaphors I use a lot is we do a lot of logo development in my business as well. We design logos for the U.S. Open Championships as well as for a lot of private clubs. And one of the things I say to a lot of my private club logo and branding clients is how the logo fits you is just as important as anything else. In other words, I could generate a great looking logo, but if it doesn't resonate with the membership, then it's not successful enough. It doesn't do everything it needs to do. And I view the poster work as sort of that as well. The USGA has been conducting this championship for well over 100 years now, and they've built something very, very special. And I try and honor that work and honor the brand and serve the championship as best I can, really, and create something that excites people and moves people, as well as gives respect to the history of the championship and the status of the major.
Fantastic. Yeah, the work definitely does show that. You know, you're getting input, and the results are, they speak for themselves. So, I mean, a lot of artists, I know this ideal a lot in technology, Lee, and video game and maybe app and software developers will throw a little something called an Easter egg into their game or their program, something maybe that it's not on the surface, but you know it's there, maybe the developer knows it's there, and maybe somebody discovers it. Are you an artist that maybe puts a little something in his paintings or in his works that is kind of a little hidden little gem in there that you know is there and you wait to see if anyone else picks up on it?
Yes and no. I generally try and include a couple little details for the locals or things that only the locals would know. But typically they're not it's not sort of a Where's Waldo thing. There's no really hidden pictures or anything like that in my posters, but lots of times there's little tiny details that are not the first thing or the second thing that you see, unless you're someone that knows the place well. And that really started at Torrey Pines, my first U.S. Open poster in 2008. I presented the USGA with a layout that included the paraglider. And at the time, I was actually fairly tentative about it because I thought the last thing you want to do is create something that looks gimmicky. You know, I really do try to create things that look classic and timeless, and not something that sort of feels like you're trying to, you know, play a little trick or something like that. So I went to them and I said, you know, what do you think about this paraglider? I think it's because they're so ubiquitous at Torrey Pines, as I'm sure you know, they're flying all over that golf course all the time during the what it used to be the Buick, the Farmers Invitational, and I just thought that it really had a place in the picture. It was a piece of local interest that, I thought people might like, but I wasn't sure about it. And it turned out, many, many people were very, very interested in that little tiny orange paraglider. So I try and learn the lessons from the customers and give the people what they want. So, you know, this year there's not a lot in there. There's no real big surprise to it, but one of the things that's in this year's poster at Oakmont is a hawk in the far upper right corner of the image, and that's there because that, I guess, the story that I've been told, which is hearsay, I can't say this is the official party line story, but you know, since all the trees have come out of Oakmont, all the critters are a little bit more exposed, and apparently there's been a hawk lingering in the treetop near the clubhouse for the last few years because it's easier pickings up there. So a lot of the members will see that bird when they go out to play. So it was a little tip of the cap to the members and what they see all year long.
And we're with Lee Rabransky, artist and storyteller. He's given us some of the backstories here regarding, he does the official poster each year for the USGA and the US Open. And, throwing little things like that in there may help you sell a few more posters. So that's always great too. Lee, we're going to take a quick break here for Amazon.com, our partner and sponsor here at the network. And just want to let people know that if they're doing any shopping on Amazon, they can use the affiliate link here with the studio, modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon for any and all of your shopping needs. I know we're heading into the wedding season, summer, and then back to school in the fall. You'll be doing a lot of shopping on Amazon, and it helps support the studio in a small way here with the partnership agreement and affiliate agreement that Modern Life Podcast Network has with Amazon. So once again, go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon, do all your shopping, and it helps the studio out here at no extra cost to you. So back with Lee. Lee, you kind of went over a little bit about this year's poster and kind of what's been the early reactions to it?
They've been quite good. We were fortunate to get it done a little bit earlier this year. It's always a challenge to get the posters done far enough in advance to have them really have a longer life, I guess you'd say. You know, the first couple of years, I wouldn't get them finished and printed until just maybe a month or two before the event. And, you know, you have sort of a limited window of opportunity there. So each year I try and get them done a little bit earlier. And this year we got it done right before the holidays. So Bob Ford at Oakmont was able to put some in his shop for the club's Christmas gala, and they've been very well received by the club, and they've been good sellers so far on Amazon and on our website. So far can't remember that cliche, but the early indications are all good. So we're hoping for a very good year.
I think it's going to be I predict brisk sales here for the next couple of weeks. So I'm sure that would put a smile on your face and all the other people's faces, and the membership there at Oakmont. They're very proud of their club and their stake in this year's U.S. Open. So it's going to be a fun watch. The course is going to be playing tough, and you've gotten your play, your preparation kind of out of the way. Lila, this show is called The Tech of Sport. Is there any special technology maybe you're using now in doing these posters, or maybe your logos, maybe that has evolved that you weren't using back years ago?
Oh, definitely. You know, we use, especially with the logo and branding work, of course, which is, you know, essentially design based. We use computers for everything that we do. It's not what you see at the end of the day with the poster work, of course. But there's a lot of, we use the Adobe platform very extensively, primarily Photoshop and Illustrator for our design and art projects. And then we also do, for example, hand-illustrated yardage books. We've done those for courses like Marion and actually the old course at St. Andrews. So I'll create 18 hand-painted watercolor illustrations of the golf hole. And, you know, it's a fully functional but more decorative version of your standard golf course guide. But, you know, we'll use InDesign for that. Specifically with the posters, I could tell you a little bit. The computers have just benefited the process tremendously, particularly the proofing stage I mentioned earlier. Once we have approval on the layout, I'll create the original drawing for the poster in Illustrator using a tablet, and the whole art will be done digitally, and it will be flat color and pretty simple line art, relatively few details compared to the finished art. And that way we can, for example, when the USGA asks to see a different font here and a different color there, and if we move the logo from here to there, all these edits can be made very quickly and easily and conveniently in the digital format. And I end up, as I said, probably doing 12 to 15 different proofs through the course of the process before achieving approval on the final layout. And once I have that approval, I create the hand-painted rendition of the Illustrator art. So it's very much built with a lot of technology inside, but the skin of the product is entirely hand painted. So it's not obvious that that is the case, but I'm a big proponent and a big user of technology as much as I can.
That's great to hear. Yeah. Like other industries, technology has really streamlined the process. Hopefully it's made your job a little easier. But one thing technology doesn't do is it doesn't have the eye for the creativity and kind of what things should look like. But you know, everything else after that, the computers, the technology, the cameras, printers, they have to help.
For sure, you know, I think that in our business, particularly the graphic design side of things, there's very much a cliche that these days nobody can really draw. No one necessarily gets taught the eye anymore. In other words, a lot of people go to school and they get taught all the technology, but they don't get taught the aesthetic fundamental principles that are required to be very good at making images or making compelling pictures. So just having a command of the technology, in my view, does not necessarily mean that you're going to be I don't want to say successful, but highly skilled designer. You definitely have to have an eye. And I feel, I guess this is obviously a bias. I was trained as a fine artist first, and then I have veered into a commercial and design-oriented career. But I feel very much that my classical training as a painter and illustrator informs my work greatly. And if I was just brought up drawing on Illustrator instead of drawing on paper with charcoal, I don't think I would be what I am or where I am with my work. So I think it's very much a marriage of, you know, some sort of that innate talent, which then gets groomed with the right sensibilities. And then the technology is almost the last piece of the puzzle as I see things.
True, but you also still have to be skilled to use the technology in the right way too. So I think
no doubt.
Maybe what some that's underestimated sometimes. So I think that's a big part of it. And Lee, great having you on. If people want to find out more about you, here's your chance to plug your website. And are you on social media? And where can people look at and get the current poster?
Great. Well, we're LeeYBransky.com, LeeYBransky Art and Design on Facebook, LeeYBransky on Twitter. This summer, I'll be appearing at all three majors and then the Ryder Cup. So I'll be signing my posters at the U.S. Open, the Open Championship in Troon, the PGA at Baltusrol, and then the Ryder Cup, as you mentioned earlier, at Hazeltine. So I'll be out and about quite a bit, and I'll be putting a lot of pictures and experiences and anecdotes out on social media through the course of the season. The posters are available on our website, LeeYBransky.com, as well as through Amazon.com. You can find us there too. And it's been great to be on and talk with you gentlemen. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks Lee for coming on, and good luck. And yeah, it's a busy year with the Ryder Cup this year as well. So last question, Lee, what's the one course that you haven't been able to put down on paper yet or posterize yet that you would like to do?
I think I'd have to say Cypress Point. We've done a little bit of design work for them, nothing serious, but we have done a little bit of work together, and I've been on site there and toured the course, and I have to say I've been on a lot of phenomenal golf courses around the world, but that's probably the most beautiful, in my opinion, and I'd love the opportunity to work with that in some capacity, whether it be a poster or a painting. That would be the first thing that comes right to mind, I think. 15 and 16 at Cypress.
That's a good one. That would be great. I'd love to see that. So, Lee, thanks for your time. Thanks for giving us some of the stories behind your works, and we enjoy your work every year, and every time you have a new piece that comes out, it's fantastic.
Thank you so much, guys. Stephen, Rick, I really appreciate it, and it's a great opportunity to talk. And thanks for letting me put the word out.
Great, and thanks, and have a great summer. And just want to let everyone know that the four shows at the Modern Life Podcast Network are up for podcast awards, and voting is underway, and that really helps make a difference. These four great shows up for quite a selection of awards. So go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com and you can see how to vote for the Modern Life Podcast Network and your other favorite shows as well. So just also want to make a mention of Two Thumbs Up Media, the internet broadcast directory set up by the people here at the Modern Life Podcast Network. You can discover new shows, audio, video, and internet streaming content. Thanks to Lee, and hope you guys have a great week as we move on closer here to the U.S. Open Golf and a busy summer. You've been listening to The Tech of Sports, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.